heard in the street, a bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare before they spring forth. I tell you of them. Brothers and sisters, our New Testament lesson comes from Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. It's on Pew Bible, page 778. Let us hear God's word. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the waters, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is God's word. Brothers and sisters, let us pray. Gracious God, listen to the cries of our heart. But also, Lord, we ask that you would listen as we seek your guidance in this world, as we ask to be led and guided by your word. Be with us, O Lord, as we listen to what you are saying to us on this day. May your word light our path and guide our hearts for the days, the weeks, and months to come. In your blessed name we pray. Amen. Today, or actually, well, Friday, begins our journey of Epiphany. We begin with God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. In that passage, we find two prophecies and one hymn, all of them concerning the Messiah, the promise that God would send the man to save his people. It's setting out the mission for the Messiah, wrapping up in a song of praise the promise between God and God's people. And then we skip ahead a ways, Matthew's gospel, where Matthew talks of that Messiah preparing to set forth on his journey of ministry and mission. That same Messiah, covenanted, comes to the Jordan to be baptized. So if you take Isaiah as a checklist, so to speak, the first part, you can check that box because the Messiah has come as promised. And then we find him beginning his work, beginning his ministry. And so getting ready to check off box number two. The baptism is followed by his time in the wilderness, his time of temptation, which then is followed by his calling of the 12, and then off they go into ministry, onto ministry. The last part, the hymn of praise in Isaiah, is our response to the first two pieces. It's our response to God, our praise to God. But before we get to that praise, we find ourselves in this almost awkward moment on the River Jordan. It's a pretty interesting theological moment when Jesus comes to John at Jordan's edge and asks to be baptized. After all, there isn't one set view of baptism. There's believer baptism, there's covenantal baptism. There are so many differing views of what baptism means. And then throw in the fact to these already murky waters, murky like the Jordan, is the fact that John's particular baptism is its own type of thing. It's a baptism of repentance. It's a movement someone would put forward, signifying their willingness to repent of who they had been. And in the act of baptism, they are assured of that forgiveness. It's a two-part message, not that dissimilar to our prayer of confession and assurance of pardon. It's a movement with a physical element to it. Even in our Catholic and Orthodox brothers and sisters, in their acts of confession and confessional, there isn't necessarily as much of a physical element as John taking you and putting you in the water. It's a physical moment. We see before this John recoiling against the Pharisees and Sadducees about this, because the Pharisees would have believed that they didn't need to repent from anything. They lived these great and holy lives. And the Sadducees, well, the question that you would ask them is, why are you getting baptized? What do you need to worry about? Once life is over, that's it. That's what you believe. But they're hedging their bets. And on the cusp of that, right after that, we find Jesus coming. So after people are hedging their bets, we find Jesus, the Son of God, fully human, fully divine, standing before the prophet. It's this awkward moment, because what does Jesus need to be there for? Does he need to repent? Is there some moment in his childhood that he needs to kind of make sure he's covered for? This moment that he threw mashed potatoes at Mary's face with a spoon when he was, you know what? He who is without sin is Christ. So why is he there? We see John push back against him and say, no. You take my place and I'll get baptized. That's how this works. You're the Son of God, I'm just the prophet. You can imagine the feeling of inadequacy within John. He's being asked to baptize Jesus. You could be asked to baptize almost anybody on the planet, and, well, you're not even in the same ballpark as John standing there. He understands this moment for what it is. But in the midst of his confusion, his inadequacy, all Jesus needs to say is, let it be, so that everything happens because it's proper. And then John goes and does. Now, there's a difficulty with this, because scholars even now are still divided over what this means. Some would argue that Jesus needed to stand with humanity as they go and are baptized and make that commitment to repentance. Then there are those saying that it was all leading up to that moment coming out of the water. Everything leads to the heavens opening. And without him getting into the water, that never happens. There are still other pieces that necessarily aren't wrong, but can all be right. God is playing some form of 4D chess here, where God is setting everything together in a moment. God is weaving all sorts of things together. He's making a quilt, if you will, for what will happen next. God isn't just setting this moment up by happenstance. Jesus didn't just pass that way in that moment just because. God moved it so. There isn't a coincidence of Jesus exiting the waters and the heavens opening, announcing that he is the Son of God and God is well pleased in him. It reminds me of a minister I knew back in when I was in Columbia Green classes, who used to say often, there are no coincidences, just God instances. The beauty of this scripture is that it's telling of God's announcement of his son, but also that moment where God's plan weaves and works together. God stage manages this moment, setting every strand and piece up. If you think that it's a coincidence that the Pharisees and Sadducees were there right before, you're not paying attention, because it happened in such a way. Jesus comes to the waters for that reason, for that moment. That's the beauty of what God does for us. God moves all these strands together. God moves us into points in life and in ministry. Whatever ministry it is, God participates heavily in our lives. And so often we stand at the waters and we are led to the question, will we enter them with God? Or will we, you know, not right now. Fact is, God's plan will happen. If God stage manages a moment and we don't enter the waters, there'll be another moment, another stage managed piece where all things lead to that moment. All things lead to that place. When I talked to the kids and told them about my first point in calling to ministry, that was great. And I wasn't going into ministry. And then I got up and I did the children's sermon that later that year in my church for the youth Sunday. And I wasn't going into ministry. And then I got into college and was going to be an engineer. And I didn't. I didn't go into ministry, but then I go into teaching. And then as I'm sitting there teaching, finally, I listened to a sermon talking about Jonah. And finally, I realized where the waters were and where I was standing. And eventually, God kind of just gave me a push into the water. Or I finally listened. However, God is stage managing moments in our lives leads us to ask the question, will we enter the waters or postpone to another day when God's plan will happen? Because it's going to happen. The question is, will we participate? It's the beauty of this. Because John gave in. God called John and Jesus together. And even though John obviously felt inadequate, God's plan moved and happened. Brothers and sisters, may you listen to God's call May you hear when he announces to you that he has a plan for you. And may you step into the waters. Amen. Children of God, let us respond to him through our gifts and our offerings.
On a hill far away, stood an old rugged throne, the emblem of suffering and shame. Above that old cross, where the dearest and best for world of lost sinners was slain, so I'll cherish.
Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for the many blessings you have given us, for all the ways you have woven the quilts of our lives. We ask that you will lead us, guide us, and keep us. Continue to bless us and watch over us in the days that have been, the days that will come, and the days that are. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Before we begin with open prayer concerns, let me give you a few for your prayer lives. First of all, Sonny Howe is moving like today, but has also had some health issues. So please continue to be in prayer for Sonny as she both deals with health concerns, but also as she begins this new chapter of her life. This is from Barbara Hornbeck, prayers for Loretta Beazle, who has entered hospice. Prayers for the Longto family as they grieve the passing of Gary's brother. Prayers for Kelly's cousin, Reggie, who in addition to dealing with cancer, has been rushed to the hospital with some trouble breathing and elevated heart, et cetera. So please be in prayer for Reggie. Prayers for Bob and June Vanderlaan. Prayers for Bob as he retires, but also prayers for June as she battles pancreatic cancer. Are there any other joys or concerns this morning? Bill. So what was her name? No, Richard's wife. Jeanette? That would be prayers from Bill Hannis. His brother Richard lost his wife, Jeanette, this past Friday, correct? Ron? That was thanks, prayers of thanks from Ron, who's giving praise for his niece's surgery going off successfully that we were praying for. Are there any other prayers of joy or concern? Yeah, Tyler. Oh, that's a good joy. Wonderful. So that's from Tyler Frano. His older sister is expecting. So joy to the family and a safe pregnancy as well. Are there any other concerns or joys? Well, then let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for the ways you move in, around, and through our lives. We ask that you'll watch over Sunny as she changes locations, as she moves to a new place away from us. Be with her as she deals with the health concerns, as she deals with the challenges of a new home and new place. Help her to know that we are with her in spirit, whether or not we are with her physically. Be with Loretta and her family as she undergoes hospice care. Be with the Long Toes as they grieve the loss of a brother. Be with Reggie. Help him, keep him as he battles his cancer, but also as he heads to the emergency room and deals with his current issues. Be with Bob and June Vanderlaan. Be with Bob as he retires and the new opportunities that come with retirement or the chance to just sit and be. Be with June as she deals with treatment for cancer. Be with Richard and the whole Hannes family as they grieve Jeanette's passing. Hold them close.